You know why he expected to have his prayer answered? He expected to have his prayer answered because he had a right relationship with God. He was not presumptuous. He was not demanding. He was not telling God what to do. He was seeking God's will. Now, when Daniel started to talk to God, Daniel was not saved by the blood of Christ because it had not been shed yet. It wouldn't be shed for over 500 years. And just because the blood had not been shed yet, Daniel still had a personal relationship, and he had a means of approaching the throne of God. And we would do well to notice how Daniel came to the throne of God in his prayer. I don't expect any of you to do this, okay? This was Daniel's day. This was 500 years ago. Let's look at Daniel 9:3. And Daniel says, "And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication." Now, he starts it off with fasting. With fasting. And sackcloth. And ashes. He was not eating. He was wearing sackcloth, which was a garb of mourning. And he was laying in ashes. He was laying down for his prayer. Spread out on his face. Understanding who he was talking to. And he had no right to stand before him. He came humbly. Totally without pride, laying in sackcloth and ashes. Now, he did not assume that he had any right to go to God. And when he set his face to come to God, he understood that he had a proper relationship between he and God. So first of all, he fasted. He wanted to make sure that he was submitting his body to the Lord. He was wearing sackcloth to show his humility. And he was lying in ashes. There was no pride on Daniel's part. None. He was totally submissive to God's will. Now, this is necessary if we are going to establish a relationship, the right kind of relationship with God. And so let's look at the next verse, Daniel 4. "And I prayed unto the Lord, my God." This was very personal. We were talking about a young lady who was here on Wednesday night, and Shirley asked her, you know, "Who's your God?" And she said, "Buddha." And no wonder she was here. Shirley made a good observation. She said, when the Buddhists and the Muslims and the Hindus need help, where do they come? They come to the Christian God because their God can't help them. Their God doesn't love them. So anyway, it says, "And I prayed unto God, my God, and made my confession." Now, when you and I pray, folks, we need to start with confession. Every time, we need to start with confession, and we need to be thorough in our confessing an examination of our life, because there are things that go on that we need to get resolved with God before we pray. And Daniel said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. You want to have a beautiful time with God. Come to him in obedience. Oh, it will be a different time. Daniel came into God in full contrition. Full contrition. He was sorry for anything he had done. Now, he was not anticipating getting anything from God. He did not come for something, not something physical. He came to establish a relationship with God, because that's all we are to have, a relationship to God. And it is to be a particular kind. So he came, first of all, confessing all of his sin. We say, well, Brother Ken, that's what I do. I come to God, I confess my sin, and then I let him know what I'm there for. I want you to see something that may change your prayer and the way you pray. Let's look at this. Daniel came to God in full contrition, not anticipating getting anything from God, but coming to confess all the sin that had placed Israel in the captivity of the nation Babylon. Daniel didn't have sin to confess. Not his own. He came confessing the sin of Israel. Somebody else's sin. But he was a part of it. And folks, I hope when we get done tonight that you will see the necessity of confessing all of our sin. Yeah. All of our sin. That's what Daniel was doing there. He was confessing the sin of Israel, not his own. It's a reason. Pride would have rendered Daniel's prayer void. God would not have heard it. He would not. Mentioned the verse this morning, Psalm 66, 18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Daniel came with the primary intention of confession to a holy God, and Daniel's relationship with God made him aware that the confession had to come first. And John tells us in the New Testament that if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar. Now, who wants to make God a liar? No, that's not a smart thing to do. Confession always has to come first. And the confession must be thorough and complete. It takes concentration to confess because we are a sinful people. Now, we sing on Sunday mornings, the family of God. When we sing the family of God, that makes us all part of that family. that is a unit that I believe God respects. He expects us to be a family. He expects us to treat each other as a family, not as two brothers who fight all the time. I know when I was growing up with my brother, we would see what we could do to cause as much distress as possible to each other. And as you were growing up, you probably did the same with sisters or brothers or both. But that's not the kind of family God has. God has a family that loves each other. But Daniel understood that he had to acknowledge all of the sin that involved him and Israel, because he was where he was because of the sin of other people. Think of him as a 12 to 14 year old boy being captured in Jerusalem, being taken to Babylon, being neutered or castrated to make sure that he never had a family to compete with the king. That's what they did to all of the young men that were taken to Babylon. So this was not going to anticipated as going to be a joyful time. But in spite of that, Daniel maintained a close relationship with God. And he did it through prayer. Now, next week we're going to get into Revelation and in the evening service. I want you to think about some things. What do you have if for some reason you are arrested and put in solitary confinement for your belief? Well, Brother Ken, that's not going to happen to me. It happened to 57 people after January 6th. They were put in solitary confinement, period. They hadn't been tried. They hadn't been to court. They hadn't done anything. Some of them hadn't even been there. Yet they spent over 2 months in solitary confinement. No one to speak to. No one. Could you live for a month without speaking to anyone? You couldn't do it. We are social animals, people. We have to interact with each other. And there are people who have been in solitary confinement for 9 months already. And one of the men who was put into solitary confinement said, it was awful not to have anybody to speak to. You didn't know if it was day or you didn't know if it was night. You didn't know what time it was, what day it was. And there was no one to talk to talk with. What would you do? What would you do? We have someone we can talk with. We have God. We can talk to him all the time. And through the power of his Holy Spirit, he can respond to us. He can help us. He can strengthen us. Here was Daniel. He was preparing to talk to the God, the ruler of the universe. And remember that prayer was Daniel's reason for spending a night with the cats. the big cats, the lions. Because Daniel prayed, he spent the night with the lions. That was that important to him, that he was willing to take that risk. And his God showed himself to be possible to take care of him. Now that happened a little bit later after this that we're seeing in chapter 9. That happened after that. But even though Daniel spent regular time each day with God, he always started with confession. And I think that confession should be the way we should all start our prayers to God. We all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If we start a prayer without confession, God's not going to hear it. There's one thing that we must realize. You ready? This is true. This is what we learned from this. You are responsible for the activities of the people that you spend time with. Say that again. You are responsible for the activities of the people that you spend time with. And if they sin, you have a part in that sin. Take a close look at how Daniel prayed here. Daniel 9:5. We, notice the pronoun, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. We. It wasn't Daniel. It was the people. His people. His people. Do you see that pronoun, we? We have sinned. He was taking the sin upon him. Now, he was not Jesus Christ. He did not have the holiness that Jesus had or the spiritual understanding of what he was saying here. But he said, we. Daniel included himself in the sins of his people. Now, when someone in our church family sins, it affects all of us. When someone in our church family sins, it affects all of us. Me, you, whoever. And when we go to start confessing, we need to confess for each other. Think about that. What you do affects me. What I do affects you. Now, you're not going to know all that I do, and I'm not going to know all that you do unless... And here's the scariest part of this thing. We have something in us called the Holy Spirit, and he is able to communicate. He's able to tell you about my sin. Now, how do I keep him from doing that? I don't sin. I refrain from sin. How do you keep him from telling me about your sin? Now, people, this is real. This is what the Bible teaches us. This is changing my prayer, the way I pray. He uses that pronoun, we. So when he confessed sin, he confessed it for all of the people. So when I confess sin, I need to confess it for all of the people that I know of. And this is a very important concept in our prayer life. If we are seeking forgiveness for everyone, we are investing our lives for each other, because you are taking your time to pray for someone else, and we need to seek forgiveness for all of our sins. If we're aware of sin in another person's life, we should never talk with anybody else about it. That's gossiping. That's backbiting. We should talk with God about it. We need to confess it to God. Gossip and backbiting is a sin that destroys churches. I've seen it destroy churches. And we don't want that to destroy our church. So we are going to have to be careful not to be involved in backbiting or gossiping. Gossip and backbiting is very harmful to the church family. If you're talking about anyone else other than an effort to help them, it is gossip. We need to understand this. There's no place for gossip in the church family. The Apostle Paul refers to it in Romans 16, 17, and 18. Now, folks, this may seem harsh, and I don't want it to. I don't mean it to. I love all of you. I do really love all of you. But in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, Paul talked about this. He said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine teaching which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the heart of the simple." Gossip always destroys church unity. This is so important. Let me say it one more time. Gossip always destroys the gossiper's character and church unity, and is a wicked sin that must be repented of if there is to be a relationship with God. Daniel did not go out and talk about the people of Israel to anybody else. He talked to God about it. He confessed to God. So getting back to Daniel and his prayer, Daniel 9, 6, neither have we. There is that little pronoun again. We, he is taking it upon himself to make this confession to God. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings, our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. Daniel confesses for all of his people that they have not been obedient to the word of God. When was the last time that you confessed for the church family? When was the last time? That's what Daniel did. God put it in his word in this 9th chapter of Daniel for us to learn from, for us to understand. Daniel confesses that all of the people that they have not been obedient to the word of God through his prophets and his priests, what God has told them in this book. Now, they didn't have the complete book at this time, but in his word through the prophets, Daniel confessed, we're not doing it. So if we're going to have a visible relationship with God, we will all have to be obedient to God's word. Oh, wow. Think about that. Think about a church family that was totally obedient to the word of God. Brother Ken, we're all human. We've got a sin nature. Think of it. Our goal should be to be obedient. Daniel 9, 7, and 8. He's still praying. O Lord, righteousness belongeth to thee, but unto us confusion of faces as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries where thou hast driven them, because of their trespasses that they have trespassed against thee. We are all experiencing chastening because we are not being 100% obedient. He goes on, verse 8, O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. Look at what's going on in our country tonight. Look at what's going on in our country. A year ago, they closed churches, kept the liquor stores open, kept the marijuana stores open, because they were essential, but they closed the churches, and we let them. We're not closing again, folks. Observe. Daniel was coming before the Lord in his prayer in absolute humility and truthfulness. He was not making excuses for why anybody did anything. He was simply demonstrating his understanding with regard to the difference between God and himself. God is somebody very special. And God is the one who is permitting us to sit here tonight. It's God. It's not us. We haven't done anything that deserves it. And yet God loves us enough. God is merciful enough. God is graceful enough to let us be a part of his family. You know, God does not need us. God does not need us. God could get by just fine if we weren't here. He could. I really mean that. God does not need us. We are of no value to God other than he loves us. For us to think that God needs any of us is a most arrogant form of pride imaginable. To think God, boy, God really needs me. I'm good. I do this good. And folks, that's pride. That's pride. And we know that God hates pride. So we have to be sure that we are not coming to God in pride. Well, God, here I am again. Better listen up. But people, we do that. There are even times when we go tell him how to fix something. God, if you'll do this, it'll all get better. There's a little phrase that we need to add to our praying. If it be your will. If it be your will. I pray for God to give each one of you, every morning, I pray that he will give you health and that he will give you safety according to his will. Because I can't tell him what to do for you or what you need. But if we will pray that way, according to his will, we are letting him be God. And we are just being his children. Now at this point, Daniel has confessed the sin of Israel. Daniel has confessed his own sin. He has totally humbled himself. He has totally yielded to the will of God. Now, in verse 9 of chapter 9, Daniel's ready to pray. Just getting there, folks. It's taken 9 verses for him to get to, well, really 7, to get ready to really get serious and pray. Daniel 9, 9 and 10. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. God's going to forgive us because he loves us and because he has made a relationship with us. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which are set before us by his servants, the prophets. Daniel begins with praise to God and contrition for the sins of Israel. Israel at this point is scattered all over the world by their sin, by God driving them out of Jerusalem and into different parts of the world. And Daniel is not praying for himself, but for his nation and his people. Remember, he was confessing the sin of his people, all the sins he knew about. How would that affect your prayer if you started off with confession for all of us? That's different, isn't it? That gives a whole new dimension to prayer. But it's going to do one other thing. It's going to make us aware of the fact that if we sin, it's going to affect you. All of us. And that's what we really want to see. I don't think we'll see it this side of heaven, but I would like to see this church, as sin-free as it could be, is on fire for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're working toward with Mike Schrock and with David Barnum. Or Barna. We're looking to have our hearts stirred that will make us more like Jesus wants us to be. Our prayers should show or should exhibit sorrow for the magnitude of sin that we all have committed against God. Daniel 9:11. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore, the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. God has said, if we do something against his law, he will have to do something to bring us back. And if he's not bringing you back, you've got a big problem. A big problem. And most of the churches in North Charleston and Charleston this evening, he's not bringing them back because they don't belong to him. Daniel 9:11. I'm sorry, I just read it. If we're going to pray like Daniel, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we have sinned against him. If we're going to pray like Daniel, then we should be asking for forgiveness for our own sin as well as the sin of our brothers and sisters. If you pray for your own sin, and then you pray for other people's sin, how much more reason does God have to forgive it and to correct and to not chasten us? And one of the things that is sin is any failure on any of our part to instantly obey. When God says, you do this, we need to do it. Daniel 9:12-13. And he hath confirmed his words, which he spake against us and against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For under the whole heaven hath not been done as it hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil is come upon us, yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. How much have you prayed for the abortion industry? How much have you prayed against them? Have you really thought it through, what that means? 65 million babies put to death since 1966. Over 65. I don't know why we're still here as a country. And yet, God loves us. We are called the children of God because we call ourselves Christians. And yet, we do not keep all of the Word of God. We say we read the Bible, but we don't always do the Bible. Can we expect to experience anything less than Israel experienced in their captivity? I don't think so. I really don't. If we want to escape the judgment of God, then we must return completely to His Word. His Word. Return completely to it. Not our desires, not the desires of the world, not the ways of the world. Just this. Now, when I say completely to His Word, I mean that we're going to have to make an extra effort, all of us, to be a true Christian in everything that we do. I'm going to have to make an extra effort. You're going to have to make an extra effort. Everything that we do, we're going to have to make that extra effort. We must understand that everything written in the Word of God is God's will for us. For us. And we must live with that thought. That's what Daniel said, and that's what God said. Daniel 9:14. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works, which he doeth, for he, we obeyed not his voice. So have we been entirely obedient to the whole word of God? No. So we must be obedient if we're going to be in fellowship with God. And that's the thing that we need to emphasize. We need to be in fellowship every day with our Heavenly Father. Daniel 9, 15 and 16. And now, O Lord our God, that hast brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and hast gotten thee renown, as at this day we have sinned, we have done wickedly. Daniel is still praying about his sins. Verse 16, O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our father, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. As we get into our study on Sunday night, you're going to notice Jerusalem becomes the capital during the tribulation and during the millennial reign of Christ. It's going to become the capital. It's God's city. And it is time to quit. Let me finish these last two verses, well, the last three verses, 17 through 19. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplication, because cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thine ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations and the city which is called by thy name, for we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. That's why we're here, people. The mercy of God has kept us here. Verse 19, O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. If we will pray with the same attitude that Daniel prayed, then God will answer us as he answered Daniel. And God will use us to be his witnesses in this day of corruption. Now, how did God answer Daniel's prayer? You remember? He sent an angel. He sent Gabriel to Daniel to help. He probably won't send Gabriel, but I am sure he will send some kind of help, because that's what he wants. So we want to be what he wants us to be, so that he can help us to be all that he wants. Father, thank you for the way that you treated Daniel, for the provisions you made for him. And Father, that you showed him a glimpse of the future. Show us a glimpse of the future, that we might be on the right track. And Father, that we might serve you according to your will. And we will praise you, Father, not for what you permit us to do, but for what you do. Because we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.